want to take just a moment before we begin to give you a couple of words of instruction. We're doing our communion a bit different. We'll be gathering around the table, standing in the old reformed manner. We can accommodate about 12 persons standing around this table. And we can still pass it around from one end of the group to the other as each of you come down. Person will hand it to the person next to them. We'll have the common loaf where people take a small piece off. And likewise, pass the common cup, which will have a napkin pass with it. You can wipe the cup as you did with the napkin. Our server will be more or less director, giving you directions as to how to come down. You'll come down this aisle, sort of line up in waiting as you're directed by the person. When you leave the table, you'll go back up this aisle, around back to your seat. This side over here will come out and go up this aisle, go around the back, and line up over here, and then back to your seat as well. And I think you just sort of watch and pay attention to the director, and tell proceed smoothly. You note that there are hymns that we will sing spaced out during the time that we will be taking to aid our meditation. We'll simply follow the organist, those who not in any sense be announced, the team is keeping in place.
Responsive reading is number 84, the Lord's Supper, taken from 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let us bow our heads together and let us pray in unison the prayer of confession. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not always loved you. You call, but we have not always listened. We often walk away from our neighbors in need, wrapped up in our own concerns. We have been beset by pride, by greed, by prejudice. Most loving God, help us to face up to ourselves so that, as you move toward us in mercy, we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We are surrounded these days by symbols. Symbols, of course, are those things which are things in themselves, but also stand for something else. Oftentimes, bringing something in the past back to our remembrance. This coming Sunday, in my own life, there will be at least three symbolic types of things going on. Sunday, of course, is Palm Sunday. And I've been in some churches where they actually pin a palm leaf on the lapel or on the dress of the individual, symbolizing, of course, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, a religious symbol. We also have the possibility of a personal symbol. Sunday there will be what you might say is a personal symbol for me. Some of you may be aware that the Great Raleigh Road Race will be run Sunday afternoon. Now, to a lot of people, that's symbolic of a bunch of nuts running down Hillsborough Street. But to me, it has a little bit deeper meaning, because when I started jogging a little better than a year and a half ago, I said I need some kind of goal, something that will tell me I've sort of reached a level of fitness that is, I would deem appropriate for me. And I said it's my goal to simply run in the Raleigh Road Race and finish. So, although for many people the race will simply be a race in and of itself, and to me it will be that, and also a symbol, if I survive, of achieving a certain level of physical fitness. Sunday is also symbolic for me in a relational sense. It's one of the reasons that I had a little difficulty deciding to run in the Raleigh Road Race, because Sunday is our anniversary. And my wife told me that if I dropped dead on Hillsborough Street, she'd be so mad at me that she would not even come to my funeral. But anniversaries are highly symbolic events, if we make them so. Have this ring as a symbol of something that happened many years ago. And as we celebrate that event, we think back of those things that were done and those commitments that were made. And it's not something that just remains in the past, but rather it calls to my mind a commitment made back then. As I said those words, I, Tom, take thee, Jean, to be my lawful wedded wife. We promise to love and to cherish thee in sickness and in health, in poverty or in wealth, in the good days and the bad days, as long as we both shall live. It's an ongoing commitment. It's not something that just happened back then, that I remember as back then, as something that must be renewed and something that has a continuing significance. So we come today, the symbols which have ultimate significance for us, symbols that are deeper than any of those that we have considered previously, because all of those are human symbols, symbols made by us to help us in some way. But the symbols of bread and wine that we celebrate today are symbols given to us by our Lord. They are external and visible signs of an internal and spiritual reality, something beyond ourselves. And so this occasion brings us symbols in the fullest sense of the word. These symbols have a meaning, you might say, in three time frames. There is a past significance to these symbols as we think of the bread broken and the blood shed. We think of a past event, something that a real human being who was God incarnate did for us in giving himself up that we might have salvation. We think of that past event and what it cost him and what he did for us back then. But as the text read this morning, it's not only a past event, it points to the future. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. It points to a future dimension. This world is not the end, but there is a hereafter, a time to come. And if we celebrate the supper of our Lord, which he established for us, we are reminded again of that which is to come, the promise that he has given to us. I think most important of all, the supper of our Lord is a present event. The symbol can have meaning for us in our presence. We do not have a religion that is just a past religion that just looks to the past. It is just historical. We do not celebrate a dead hero. We celebrate a living Lord. It is available to us in our presence as well. Christ has promised that where we are gathered, he will be in our midst and give us his presence and his power. And certainly this is the case as we celebrate this greatest symbol that he has given to us. So as we celebrate today, we not only look to the past, that which these elements symbolize as past events, we look not only to the future, that which they symbolize as the promises of God to come, but we open ourselves to his presence and to his power to strengthen our lives and to enable us to live more fully as Christians in our presence as well. So I invite you then to come to the table of the Lord. At the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, we look to our past to see the goodness and mercy that has followed us all the days of our lives. We look to our future in anticipation of that great divine event for which all creation moves. And even now in our presence, we look inward and experience in faith power of Christ's presence. We look about us, and experiencing that presence, we have fellowship with each other as a community of faith in Jesus Christ. Let us worship God together here.